Thank you. That light's going to help. I appreciate that. So anyway, you follow me here? How many of you hate to struggle? Amen. Verse 7. And it came to pass when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord because of the Midianites. That's much better. I can see now. That the Lord sent a prophet unto the children of Israel, which said unto them, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I brought you up from Egypt and brought you forth out of the house of bondage. This is the first unknown prophet. And this prophet shows up and he says that God says, What's up? Why are you guys so broke and poor and you're hiding in caves? And we're not talking about just a few people. We're talking about a nation. Some of these caves would hold 4,000 people. These guys were hunkered down in here in droves, folks, starving to death. Literally, they would have starved to death if God hadn't intervened. This would have been it. They would have sat there and let strife and the struggle rob them until they died. Verse 9. He says, God says, I already took care of this. I dealt with this. Verse 9, he says, And I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians, out of the hands of all those that oppressed you, and drove them out from before you, and gave you their land. And I said unto you, I am the Lord your God. Fear not for the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you dwell, but you have not obeyed my voice. God says, in case you don't realize how you got here, you didn't listen to me, and you didn't do what I told you to do. I took care of all this strife. I took care of all this struggle. I dealt with all this for you, but you didn't do what I told you to do. In the meantime, which wasn't that complicated, by the way, Leviticus 26 and Deuteronomy 28, all God told them to do was, is don't get back in sin. That's all he said. He said, the things that I took care of, don't go back over there again. He says, I've reversed this curse on your life, shut down all these diseases, all this struggle, all this strife. All these things you battle in war against, all these things that are robbing you and killing you and destroying you, I took care of every bit of it. You won't have to deal with this anymore unless you go open the gate to it again. So here this unknown prophet comes in. He says, you want to know why you're in caves again? You want to know why you're over here starving to death? And you will die right here in these caves unless you listen to me. After God did all this for you, God took care of all this one time before, here you are again. You're here because you went back into sin. Pretty powerful, isn't it? It's amazing how you don't even have to preach when you just read the Bible. Okay? But isn't God good? Even when you've messed up again and you've ended back up in a situation like this all over again, God still sends another. Verse 11. And there came an angel of the Lord. And he sat under an oak tree which was in Ophrah. Now that's not that lady on TV. That pertained unto Joash the Abrazite, and his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. Now you're talking about doomsday situation. This is what's going on here. Okay, there's this guy, Gideon. He don't have a lot of confidence. All he knows is his times are rough. Me and my people have messed up. We have sinned. The whole world's against us. They want to kill us. We got strife and struggle on every hand. Our people are hiding in caves. They're starving to death. We can't even go out in the open on the threshing floor and thresh wheat. Every time we do, they steal our wheat and they try to cut our throats. It's a mess. So he's slipping around in the wine press trying to thresh little amounts of wheat because you can't thresh much in a wine press. And the reason he's using the wine press is because he can do it in secret and there was no grapes to press because the enemy stole the grapes. And this angel of the Lord, this messenger of the Lord appears to Midian. Gideon. And he says to him, verse 12, The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. And I guess Gideon, on the one hand, would have thought, well, I guess I am still alive. I do have a little something to thresh right now. But you know, there's a whole lot more going on right here than what first meets the eye. Verse 13. And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all his miracles which our fathers told us of, saying, Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. Isn't it funny how, even though we're the one who disobeyed God and went back and sinned and did the things we did, it's God's fault now that I'm sick. It's God's fault now that I can't pay my bills. Where's God when I need him? Isn't it funny? Listen to Gideon right here. You know, I just don't understand this, Gideon says. You know, he says, what did our people do? We're supposed to be God's chosen people. And all the nations around us have gathered together and come against us. They've stolen our crops. Here we are. We're living in caves. God, what did we do to deserve this? It's human nature to always want to pass the buck, even if we have to put it back on God. Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? See, he don't deny that God was supposed to have taken care of everything. See? But now it's him who has forsaken us. And the Lord, verse 14, looked upon him and said, Go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. You ever notice God just don't argue with you? Gideon is trying to, pity me. It's your fault. You know what I'm saying. God, give me a miracle. God, you owe me something. Come on, God. I'm down here in this altar, and this is the fifth time. Now, you better do something. Like, you know, there's a magic number how many times you come to the altar. Are we funny? We had a great service last week. Be sure and do everything the same way this week, so we can have another great service. And then we're upset with God because it didn't happen this week. God, we did it the same way. It's his fault now. Because God forgot that's the way we're supposed to do it. And so the Lord looks upon him and he says, basically what he says is that I'm the one that's leading this conversation. And we're here to talk about what I want to talk about. And I know the struggle and I know the strife and the situation you're in, but I'm here for a purpose. You're in the mess you're in because you chose to be. Hello? Oh, that makes people mad. But how many of you know it's true? Do you know medical scientists, doctors say that 78% of all sick people are sick. It begins with a psychosomatic issue. Almost 80% of sick people thought themselves sick. In other words, it started out in their mind in some capacity. I don't mean people start around, I want to be. I don't mean that. But there was some type of a mental health issue involved in the process of them becoming sick or ill. That's weird, isn't it? When we make choices and decisions, then we end up with what we believed. And so the hand of the he says that I have not seen thee. Let me read the whole verse again. And the Lord looked upon him and he said, Go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have I not sent thee? So basically what God's saying is look, I'm not going to talk to you about all that. I'm not going to argue with you over who did what. You and me both know what happened. Right? God says, just do what I'm telling you to do now. Just obey me now. You didn't obey me before. That got you in this mess. I'm coming back to you again. I'm asking you to do something. Now do what I'm asking you to do. Okay? Verse 15. And he said unto him, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? My family is poor. Look at him. He goes right back. My family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. And the Lord said unto him, surely I'll be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites, strife and struggle as one man. So he goes right back again to this issue of, I'm not good enough. My family's not good enough. We're not qualified. How are we going to do this? How many of you see what's going on here? The spirit of Midianite is upon him. We struggle too much. We have too many issues. We have too many problems. And God just ignores him again. And God says, again, basically, God says, I'm going to do it through you. You just go do it. Title of my message again was, or is, when the enemy steals your zeal for adventure and breakthrough. The reason most of us are where we are and can't seem to get beyond the struggle and the strife in our life is because we won't listen to the Lord. I mean, I wish it was more complicated than that, but it's not. And you know what it's going to take to get to that place that you want to be? Every time you come back to God, it's going to be the same issue. God's not listening to our issues. God's speaking to us about the job that needs to be done. And as we obey him in what he's called us to do, that will give us breakthrough. Notice what God keeps doing. The struggle and the strife is dealt with when we obey him in what he tells us to do. I'll show you what I'm talking to you about. First of all, let me just say a few things. Adventure and breakthrough imply you must put forth the personal effort to move from where you are to where you want to be. Okay? You've got to do something. As long as they stayed in the cave, they starved. Everybody knows someone who's encountered an injury or something, and let's say they broke a bone or something like that. In order to improve, you've got to encounter some type of a rehabilitation process. You've got to move, and you've got to work at it every day to make progress, right? And that's the way it is in your spiritual life. Breakthrough does not just happen. 25, 30 years ago, Rod Parsley started a TV show called Breakthrough. I think he calls it something else now. But he called it Breakthrough. And it kind of confused people because everybody thought you just got a breakthrough from the altar. But that's not what happens. You don't get a breakthrough by the laying on of hands. A breakthrough is something you do. A breakthrough don't come from heaven. Well, a lot of people are disappointed now. Gideon and Israel was about to get a breakthrough as soon as they got up. As soon as they crawled out of the cave. As soon as they obeyed what God said to do. God was going to give Israel a breakthrough. Israel was about to defeat the Midianites and all the other tribes. And they weren't going to defeat them with weapons that were typical weapons. They weren't going to defeat them with skill and ability that was typical to the situation. They weren't going to defeat them with a large army. They were going to defeat them with 300 men and some clay pots. That's why God says, you got to listen to me and do what I say. Some of you won't defeat cancer with the doctor's scalpel. Hello? You'll have to listen to the voice of God. Adventure and breakthrough imply you must put forth personal effort to move from where you are to where you want to be. Where do you want to be? What are you going to do about it? New Year's. It's the biggest holiday around the world. New Year's wasn't even celebrated by Christians until just recently. It was a pagan holiday. Always has been. And like every other pagan holiday, Christians eventually gave in because they like to party too. I hate to say it, but it's the truth. It's no different than getting in a cave. Well, I'm not here to preach this, but it's the truth. It started with the Babylonians. And the whole idea is that people want a fresh start. People want something better. They want an opportunity to leave the past behind and move on to something else. The problem is that most people don't get anything any different. It's great to hope. It's always good to have something new to believe in. But, you know, this year, I was praying about coming here, and I was asking the Lord, well, how can I say about New Year's, God? You know, I need to say something positive. And what I heard for me was, and I think it was for you, was instead of asking, what's the Lord going to do for me this year? The Lord says, what are you going to do for him this year? Amen. Well, that's what happened to Gideon. All Israel's down in a cave, and they're crying for help, and they're asking God, what are you going to do about this strife and this struggle? God, how are you going to help us? We're all at the verge of starvation. We literally are dying. And they would have died. God, what are you going to do for us? And some of you may feel that. Some of you may, there may be somebody here on the verge of death, and you're still saying to God, what are you going to do for me this year? And God says to you, what are you going to do for me this year? Not to be hard or cruel, but you only have a short time. What are you going to do for God?
Well, that's hard, brother.
No, that's real. That's the kind of stuff that may get you a miracle. People don't want to deal with real stuff. Hello? My brother, we're about to bankrupt. We're really having a hard time financially. How's your giving then? Oh, we're struggling. We're really struggling right now. I bet you are. What will make this year different for you? I'm talking about adventure. I'm talking about breakthrough.
Oh, I told you I was believing God for a breakthrough. You don't get one that way.
Breakthrough is something you do. You break through. If God breaks through, then that's just God coming and touching you. That's awesome and that's wonderful. But we're asking God for a breakthrough. I'm the one that needs to move. I'm the one that needs to be changed. I'm the one that needs to be healed. I'm the one that needs to be delivered. I'm the one that needs to be prosperous. Amen. Then I need to make a move toward God. I need to make a move out of where I am into something different. I can't stay where I am and be changed. Okay? Here's the first thing that will make this year different. We have to learn to embrace the voice of change and innovation. How do you feel about change? How do you really feel about new things, new ways, innovation? Religious people are the worst. Oh, we love it, brother. No, you don't. We love it. No, you don't. We preach all kind of stuff we can't live. We expect other people to do things that we can't do. We get so upset with somebody who can't honor and respect, you know, teachings in the scripture and the word, but we wouldn't dare admit we can't do it either. We have to learn to embrace the voice of change and innovation. Everything in Gideon's story would be radically different. God didn't ask him to raise up a big army. God took a big army and he decreased it. How many churches do you know of going to conferences to decrease their church? I guarantee you, I couldn't sell tickets to it. Huh? These were some weird dudes too. They drank the water like dogs. That's how they were selected, on how they drank water. Not how they held a sword. Or how they did in hand-to-hand combat. They were selected on their water drinking skill. The battle was won by breaking clay pitchers with candles inside of them. And, of course, it sent confusion through the enemy's camp. You know the story. And the enemy killed each other. Pretty powerful. Pretty awesome story. It's the way God works. Here's the whole point here. God doesn't want to work within conventional means of man. God wants to work supernaturally. So in order for God to work supernaturally, he needs you to break out or break through your natural mindset. If God comes and does it for you, you're not changed. Nothing has happened inside of you. God wants to change you. He wants to make you more like him. If he has to do this thing to you every time, you're not changing. So you're the same old person whom God has taken and made a part of a supernatural event, but it didn't change you. Do you understand? You're more like a participant who's involuntary. Yeah, I think that's right. You're a participant, but you really didn't get the benefit of releasing your faith in the event. which made you part of it and changed you forever. That's what God's after, making you like Him. You've heard it said, and of course some people say Albert Einstein said it, and some say it was Ben Franklin, and some say it was Mark Twain, and others say nobody knows who said it. But anyway, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results. That's what Christians usually do. If what you're doing is not working, do something different. Barry Abney, a friend of ours from years gone by, just made a simple statement that has always stuck with me. And he said, if it's to be, it's up to me. That's not excluding God. What that means is that I've got to make a step or take a step of faith toward God if something's going to happen. Because God honors faith. Did you know that God is not moved by need? If that's true, we wouldn't have orphans. We wouldn't have hungry children. We wouldn't have disease. We wouldn't have a mission for the church to accomplish. God is not moved by need. The Bible says God's moved by faith. So if it's to be, it's up to me. In other words, if you want your life to change, if you want to make an impact, if you want to defeat the struggle and overcome the strife that stands in between you and God's best for you, you've got to address something. Amen? Look, I know I'm preaching better than y'all responding. Listen to this. James 2, 20 says, you fool. I didn't say that. The Bible said that. Do you have to be shown that faith which does nothing is useless? Oh, brother, I'm a man of faith. I can quote a lot of scripture. So? Do you do it? Do you do it? I like to hear the Bible. Go ahead and quote it to me. I'll enjoy it. But it ain't doing you any good if you don't practice it. Gandhi quoted scripture. He did. James 2:26 says, a body that doesn't breathe is dead. How many of y'all would agree with that? In the same way, faith that does nothing is dead. How many of you would agree there's a lot of people in the church that are dead? If faith is what determines the life of a Christian, because you can't be born again without faith, then we got a lot of dead folk. Hello? It's more than just what you say. We got to be careful that we don't fear the voice of change. I use a teenager here for example. Teenagers scare us to death, especially parents. Any teenagers in here? Y'all cover your ears. Cover your ears. Teenagers scare parents to death because we know what they're going to do. And we want them to trust in the traditions and the familiarity that our parents tried to get us to trust in. Because we don't want them to make the mistakes we made. The problem is, we messed up so bad that we're terrified that they're going to mess up so bad. We don't want them to hurt themselves. I may be over-exaggerating a little bit, teenagers. Your parents really, really were angels. Okay. We want them to be blessed. We want them to be blessed. We want them to make the right choices and the right decisions. So maybe we exaggerate the thing a little bit. So that we want to, see how I can say this, put this. So that we want our kids, so we overemphasize the tradition and the family way and the familiarity of things that we want them to practice. To the point that even in the good things, even in the youthful, adventurous, listen to me, breakthrough tendencies they have, we stifle them. Did y'all follow me? Only the young people followed me. Okay. We love our kids so much that we over-exaggerate our protection for them. And don't just protect them by trying to encapsulate them in the safety of our traditions and family ways and what, you know, our parents tried to get us to live according to. Are you following me so far? You know, I'm not talking so much here about convictions, because the word and convictions applies to everybody and always should be, okay? But, you know, don't take any risks, don't take any chances, this type of thing. To the point that we stifle them in their youthful, adventurous, breakthrough tendencies. Did you get it that time? Okay. Young people have a youthful zeal that we often rob them of. And if they listen to us, they turn out just like us, broke and at the end of the line. Again, I'm not talking about conviction, okay? You understand? I'm not talking about holy conviction. But think about how many young people have become millionaires as teenagers or in their early 20s. And then think about how many young people have their parents said, no, you better put that money aside. No, that's a stupid idea. No, that's too risky. No, our family's always been poor. Hello? You're not going to ever make anything of yourself, son. You just get you a good job and you stay there all your life. Which, that's not bad advice. Unless the kid is brilliant and has some really creative ideas. And God is going to use them to really break into some new realm and bring a creative idea. Hello? Like the internet. Or cell phones or alarms. Are all kinds of new things that we have in society that have made people wealthy and served society well. Am I making any sense? I'm really making a point here. I may not be, you know, tickling your excitement here, but I'm making a point here. Here's the second thing. Adventures, breakthroughs, promises, and miracles that God blesses are in His Word. Sometimes we want a new year blessing. We want God to come and take the struggle. We want God to remove the strife and defeat all the Midianites in our life. But in reality, what we are seeing as problems are the result of blessings that are really curses. A true blessing can be found in the Word. It can be found in the promises of God. A true blessing, a true promise of God is going to bring about good. It's going to bring about the fruit of the Spirit. It's going to bring about the things of God in your life. Okay? Verse 14 of chapter 6, Judges. The Lord turned to him and he said, you will rescue Israel from Midian with the strength you have. I'm sending you. The idea is that God's promises and God's blessings to you for the new year are the things that are in His Word. They're His promises. But if your pursuit is things other than what God has promised you or offered you, you go back to Leviticus 26 and Deuteronomy 28 and find out what God said the new year promises you. New life promises you. It promises you health and joy. It promises you prosperity. It promises you land. Do you understand? It promises you that He'll be your God. Hello? But a lot of people are pursuing other things and calling them blessings. And if your New Year resolution is to seek out things that are not going to bring agreement with God's Word, honor and glory to God. See, y'all, all of a sudden now, you know, it's quiet in here because people are evaluating. What is it I'm seeking after? What is it I'm wanting? And you should be right now. Because this is where a lot of people fall back into the trap of the struggle and the strife. Because we've made other things our God. We want the God of blessing, but we want to serve the God of, and you name it, comfort, luxury, personal pursuit. I know nobody here has ever done it, but there are people other places in the world that never ever question, where does God want me? What does God want me to have? What does God want me to do? And their deepest desire is to satisfy that. And I know some people will say, well, I'm not called to be a preacher. That should still be the cry of every human being's heart. Because every human being was created for him, by him, and for him. See? Well, that's too hard. That's too hard of preaching. Then struggle. That doesn't mean everybody in here has got to go to India tomorrow. That just simply means that your heart is a heart after God. See, well, Pastor Lee, you're asking too much. This is not my business. What God asked of Israel in the very beginning, and it continues throughout, is God says, I want to be your God, and I want you to be my people. He says, I want you to love me more than anything, and I'll love you. That's all. Same thing I just said to you. God says, you're mine. That's, I don't want to chase you around, follow you around while you pursue your interest all your 70 to 120 years. I want you to chase after me while I pursue my interest. What time y'all quit around here? About this time? Well, I only had 3 points. And we're at the end of the second one. So y'all be all right. Listen now to the attitude of Israel. Verse 15. Right, let's go with 14. But let me just read my second point again so I can get us back on focus. Point 2. The adventures, breakthrough, promises, miracles that God blesses are in His Word. Reevaluate where your heart, your mind, and your affections are later today. And that may help you pinpoint why you struggle so much, if you're struggling. Why it seems like everything's out to get you. If you're pursuing what's in the Word of God, you won't have the difficulties. I don't mean that you won't still have to stand on the Word. You won't still have to believe God. But God has declared that you will be blessed and prosper. That He will take care of the strife and the struggle. Verse 15. Gideon said to him, excuse me, sir, how can I rescue Israel? Look at my whole family. It's the weakest one in Manasseh. And me, I'm the least important member of my family. And the Lord replies, He said, I'll be with you. You'll defeat Midian. In other words, the struggle and the strife as if it were only one man. In other words, all the struggles and all the strife and all the things that come against you will be defeated at one time, together. You won't have all these little fires that you have to chase after all the time, consuming your energy and your effort and your time and your finances and everything that you have. God says, when you set your attention and your affection on me, Gideon, He said, then I will take control of this situation. I'll be with you. Because you know what? In reality, you really are fighting one thing anyway. It's just the devil. That's all it really is. So here, you must align your expectations with God's. Are you on the same page? And I don't mean your list of wants and desires. I mean the same page in the Bible. The same page in the Scripture. The same page in the Word. Are you on Leviticus 26? Are you on Deuteronomy 28? Are you on the same page with God? Okay. Listen, I'm helping you today if you can just hold on with me. Okay? If you're on the same page, show me the Scripture. You don't have to. I just told you where it is. God honors His Word. Everybody wants a breakthrough, but nobody wants the adventure. I'm going to tell you what it is real quick. Nobody wants to take the journey to pay the price or patiently exercise their faith. Everybody loved it when Rod Parsley said 30 years ago, breakthrough, and they flooded his altars. You know, everybody wants you to touch them and send them home changed. But that's not change. That's a miracle. You know, that's the hand of God doing something supernatural, and that's awesome, and that is powerful. But you know what is even more incredible? When God can take you by the hand and daily walk you in a new direction. With your old hard-headed, stubborn self. And you willfully submit to Him and humbly alter your life in submission to His way. And you say, not my way, but thy way, O Lord. Each and every day, to the point to where one day you get up and you don't even remember your old way. All you think about is my way is your way. That's what I'm talking about. Nobody wants to break through. Breakthrough is the hard work that you must do if you want to change. If you want to get through the struggle, then break through the struggle. Defeat the struggle. Amen. Adventure and breakthrough required to receive a miracle. Adventure is your walk of obedience to the will of God and the Word of God. That's an adventure. Anybody like a challenge? No, man. No. Well, you go ahead and struggle then. But if you like an adventure, then take God's Word and live it. Amen. Live it and watch it cause the devil's stronghold to tumble. It's powerful. Amen. Breakthrough is the relentless pursuit of His promise to you. Are you dealing with an obstacle, a hindrance to the will or promise of God? Then you must break through. Oh, brother, I'm just asking God to move this problem. Hallelujah. He will as soon as you go at it. The kingdom of God suffers violence, for the violent take it by force. Let me tell you how God's going to deal with it as soon as you get up and charge it. Amen. In the name of Jesus, here I come. If it looks like it's hard, put a helmet on, glory to God. You know what I'm saying? But believe in Jesus' name, we are going to take this for the glory of God. Remember God's warning to Israel. Don't sin, don't forsake me, and you'll be all right. You can take on anything, amen, and you can win. Hebrews 10:36 says you need endurance so that after you have done what God wants you to do, you can receive what He has promised. Everybody wants the promise on this side. But I'm going to tell you what, most folks, if you pay them up front, they ain't going to do the job. Hello? And the Scripture says that God don't pay up front. That's what it says right here. He says right here, I'll read it again, you need endurance. So that after you have done what God wants you to do, you can get your check. Oh, it says what He has promised. Same thing. Bear with me, I'm almost through. Okay, I'm just kind of laying out my notes here so I can finish it for you. Because it's good. You don't get a breakthrough unless you press until the hindrance breaks and the work is done. Sometimes you need to picture yourself in prayer. Picture yourself quoting the Word. Picture yourself believing God and standing. Picture yourself getting up another day if you have to. Amen. And saying, in the name of Jesus, I press. I push against this. Sometimes I don't feel like I'm making progress, but I'm going to tell you something. The struggle ain't pushing me back today either. You know what I'm talking about? If you have to, put your foot ahead and dig your toes in. Spiritually speaking, right? In Jesus' name, I'm going to pull up. Amen. How many remember Acts chapter 3, verses 1 through 9? I'll just tell you the story. You know, it's a lame guy. He lays at the temple every day. And every day, you know, they come through there and he's begging alms. And everybody sees that, you know, as some poor old pathetic guy, you know, and he's just collecting money. We have a lot of those guys in Dallas. But I think this guy was different than what people realize. I think this guy was a breakthrough guy. I think he was on an adventure. I think the guy had some problems with his legs. You know what I'm saying? He had an obstacle. Who's sin? John chapter 9. Nobody did. Probably just like Jesus said about that guy. Not his mom and his daddy, not him. I don't know. Maybe somebody did. Maybe it's just because of the sin of mankind in the garden. The guy's born a cripple. But either way, he's determined he's not going to accept it. He got a hold of the Word of God, Leviticus 26 and Deuteronomy 28. So he's going down to the temple. And every day, maybe for years and years and years, every day he's down there and he's going to get a breakthrough. This is my version of the story, okay? And he's down there, and he is begging for alms. But it really ain't the alms. He needs to eat today, but he'd rather work for it tomorrow. Do you understand? Yeah. Okay? So, and every day he's down there and he's thinking, one of these days I'm going to get a breakthrough. I'm coming up on these old legs. Right? And it just happened to be one day that as he was there, he broke through. He showed up day after day. Peter and John had seen him many times. But for some reason, maybe they gave him a little something, maybe they didn't. But this time it was different. I don't know if perhaps he grabbed a hold of the hand instead of just the coin. I don't know. I don't know if the Spirit of God just touched Peter and John and said, heal him. Jerk him up off his legs. I don't know what happened. But somehow inside, that old boy was thinking all along, I think, I'm going to get my miracle one of these days. And when I do, I'm walking off of here. But he got a breakthrough that day. He didn't come up from there thinking, oh my goodness, they're pulling me up. I'm going to fall and bruise my legs. Oh no, I won't even be able to sit on my old crippled legs. He didn't. You know what he did? He straightened them up. The Bible said he took off, leaping and jumping and praising God. I believe he done already thought about what he was going to do. He planned that breakthrough. You planned your breakthrough yet? No, man, I got so many problems. I'm just struggling to stay above water. You ain't above water. Not if you're thinking that way. Plan your breakthrough. Make an adventure out of it. Make an adventure out of it. Think about what it's going to be like when you get out of debt. Think about what it's going to be like when you get your wife. First one. Don't be looking for a second or a third one when you got one already. Hello? But you got to qualify things these days. People will go off on some crazy stuff. So he broke through. You see what I'm saying? You can break through, brother. You can break through. Amen? Amen. One last thing here. This is number three. You have to break through. But in order to do that, you have to deal with the memory and pain of past failure, poor choices, and disappointment. The old Gideon was eat up with it, wasn't he? So are we. You know? I mean, we all are. I'm not going to read the whole passage to you again because of time, but we've read it several times anyway today. But Gideon, he was full of it. I'm the least of my brother. He said, my whole family, he said, we're the lowest tribe. You know, he said, who am I? What am I going to do? You know, I mean, I'm Gideon. You know, I mean, he's God. He said, you forsook us, God. You promised, you did all this in Egypt. You made all these promises, and then you forsook us. He forgot we sinned. Some of y'all today may just happen to remember you sinned. If you do, that's easy to repair. Well, these kind of memories, past failures, poor choices, disappointing results will handicap your faith. It's real hard to step out and go again if you're holding on to memories of those things. But a man with experience, good or bad, is much better equipped to succeed and win the next time. And the devil knows it. Romans 8:28, you all know it. All things work together for the good of those that love God. They're called according to his purpose. It doesn't matter whether you've succeeded or failed the last time, as long as you got that issue resolved with God. In other words, if there was sin involved, you need to repent and get it right with God. But whatever the issue was, win or lose, you have experience that God can use to help you in your next endeavor to be more successful. If you failed, if you made bad choices, then just admit it. I'm sorry, God. Now, I know there's other people out there that hold over your head the rest of your life. But if you get it dealt with right in your heart and before God, God will use it to bless you. And you may just have to look back to wave at them down there if they're that are still using it against you. It's okay. It's okay. It can only hold you back if you let it hold you back. So what you need to do is you need to stage a comeback. Amen? Or a counterattack or a breakthrough or something. And use what you learned to do it better this time. Learn from your mistakes. Okay, so you know, you came into covenant with God, and then you ended up in sin, and you made some mistakes, and you might even blame God for forsaking you. But this morning, you just were reminded that, oh yeah, maybe you did. Maybe you did create that problem. Repent. Get your heart right before God. Let the Lord bring you through a process of healing and maybe some, you know, restoration or discipleship. Whatever needs to be done, him and your pastor can help you with that. And then you know what? You need to look up, because you're in for good stuff. Because you're wiser now. You know, you made some mistakes, but if you'll handle this process rightly, you won't make those mistakes again. You'll know what to avoid next time. Hello? I got dog bit one time. Right here in Antlers. You know? And I'm not going to do that no more. Lady said, come on, that dog don't bite. I don't believe ladies that tell me their dogs don't bite no more. You know, nothing personal. But I just don't have a real confidence in nice ladies that say, come on, that dog don't bite. Y'all understand what I'm saying? How many of you know what I'm talking about? Experience will teach you some stuff. That dog bit the fire out of me. I climbed a fence backwards. You ever climbed a fence backwards? A cyclone fence. I climbed it like this. It was a tall one, too. She said, I don't know. I don't know what happened. I said, I do. I got blood running all off of me. I said, I know what happened. That dog bit me. I don't mess with no dog no more. And no old ladies that tell me they don't bite. Now, I'm making fun of that. It's a true story, but... Point is experience teaches you, don't it? Even bad ones. Even bad ones. I'll never get dog bit again. Not by one of them. Okay. Last illustration here. Can I just read this paragraph and then this is it. Because I feel like it'll help somebody, okay? Okay. I hope reading it is going to be understandable enough. The problem with a lot of people is not the trauma they have suffered, but the choices they made to avoid. Now this, yeah, you just listen to it. But the choices they made to avoid healing, deliverance, and restoration. They didn't do it intentional. Okay. They just had other things to do. Okay. You'll understand in a minute. These are divine appointments. Everybody say church is an appointment from heaven. Classes, Bible studies, prayer meetings, small groups, whatever the church, the leaders feel, the pastors feel in order to do, they feel led of God to do this. All right? I'm just shooting it straight, okay? And these are divine appointments, and we often don't think a whole lot about it. But the sad part is these church services, classes, prayer meetings, conferences that we blow off were sometimes meant to fix us. And now we get filled with the side effects of festering spiritual disease that didn't get fixed. You know, if I got a tooth that needs to be fixed and I don't show up for the dentist appointment, I might go years. You know? And all of a sudden, one morning I wake up, my jaw's swollen. And I got this cave in my tooth. And it's all infected and swollen and it's hurting real bad. And well, spiritually speaking, we got Christians that are consumed now with unforgiveness, hatred, bitterness, malice. I don't mean just here and there. I'm talking about all over the world. The body of Christ has fallen in this trap. Prejudice, jealousy, fear, selfishness, narcissism. But the issue is not God's promises, because they work fine. Can you agree with me? You know what the issue was all along? Authority. Authority. Because the preacher didn't get up and scream at us and make us feel like, you know, we were an inch tall if we didn't come to this meeting. We've been so, we've been so programmed to believe that authority is only worth honoring if we're beaten by it. That we just think that, well, it's all optional, you know, I'll do something else. And
we didn't realize that God, in His authority, ordained a divine appointment to fix something delicately and gently in us spiritually, so we blew it off. I'm talking about struggle and strife. How many of you follow me still? Okay. We blew it off. Years later, we've got all these other diseases growing in us, spiritually speaking, including physical diseases. Don't think for 1 minute. Physical diseases don't come from unforgiveness and bitterness, cancer, things like that. Okay? Let me explain authority to you, and we're done. Okay? Authority is like a police officer. How many of you know a semi is rushing down the road? Police officer sticks out his hand. What does a semi weigh? 100,000 tons? That's loaded? And even if you got a big old police officer, he can't weigh more than 400 or 500 pounds. You know what I'm saying? I mean, and he's quite a guy. But what does that semi do? And that policeman just stands there. That's authority, isn't it? That ain't got much power. That semi could have just kept on rolling, right? I suppose he could have fired his gun at him, but the semi probably still kept on rolling, even if he killed the cop. So the issue right there is not so much power as it is authority. But I want you to watch this. Authority always knows more than you do. Authority always has a reason for its release. A policeman don't just stick out his hand to stop a semi just to prove he can. He don't do it. It's the same with God. God doesn't do anything through His authority that doesn't have an impact on your life. God didn't establish Leviticus 26 and Deuteronomy 28 just to see what people would do. It really does what it says it will do. It blesses you or it curses you. Both of those. I mean, it's just a fact. The policeman sticks out his hand to stop that semi. You know why? Because the semi driver can't see it. He has no idea that if he doesn't honor the authority of that little man with his hand out and he zooms on through that intersection right there, there's a train coming from this direction that he can't see. There's a whole lot of Christians getting smashed by trains that they never saw coming. That was a good illustration, wasn't it? And you know what? I can't believe he scheduled that prayer meeting on Monday night football night. Who does he think he is? He trying to keep a freight line. He trying to keep a freight liner of 100 with 100 cars behind it off your back. The Spirit of the Lord knows something you don't know. Y'all understand what I'm saying? Now, don't say all that. But for one reason, it's worth it. It's worth it to be blessed. It's worth it to honor God's word. It's worth it to be a little adventurous and press in there for some breakthrough. You need a breakthrough? Take seriously the things that God asks of us in order to be blessed. Pray, seek His face, read His word. Show up for the meetings that the church you've been planted in chooses to have. It's not the light little matter that we think a lot of times. Things like the tithe. Well, brother, you know, does God really care? You know, God's not going to go bankrupt if you don't give Him a dollar. You know, it's for your benefit. It's not God's benefit. I guarantee you, Billy's going to eat peas or something, whether you tithe or not. The question is will you? Choo, choo. You know, it's all about authority. That's all it is. I could stand here and I could go on and on, but I'm not. I could tell you stories of pastoring. I could tell you stories in this town when I pastored of people who called on me to pray. And I was their pastor. And I knew as sure as the world. I could feel it inside of me when I would lay hands. And it would be like I couldn't seem to get a release of the anointing. And I'd be driving home saying, God, I don't understand it. You know, I'm in the emergency room praying for them. God, I don't understand. What was wrong? And the Spirit of the Lord speak to me and say, they never, ever connected with you as a pastor or with the church. What do you mean, Lord? And the Lord would say, they never tithed. They never were faithful to the church. But when they had a crisis, they want to get you out of bed at 3 a.m. in the morning. Come to the hospital. But God, I'm more than happy to. I love them, you know. God, these are my people. And God said, they never, ever came into covenant with the place that I planted them. But God, I thought they were. God says, the tithe connects them. You know, and I'm like, that's what it was. You know, just weird little things like that that aren't really weird at all. It's about authority. Let's bow our heads. Lord, I love you and I just want to thank you. These are the awesome people. Thank you for what you're doing in this body. Lord, I just feel a real stability here today. I feel a real strength in this body. I thank you, Lord, that this is going to be a great year. Not just hopefulness. It's not just a matter of, you know, we're not just standing here saying, God, what are you going to do for us this year? Lord, we feel like that you've already declared thousands of years ago that this year and every year you were going to bless. And you were going to make us the head, not the tail, above and not beneath. Blessed coming in and blessed going out. God, we're just so excited. Lord, I thank you that the struggle and the strife that life wants to bring and put before us was never meant for us. And we don't have to accept it and tolerate it. Lord, we rise up against it in Jesus' name. We repent of our sin. We ask you to forgive us, God, for where we strayed and for where we deliberately, Lord, got off track. And we come back to you right now. Lord, we just can't live without you. Lord, we're asking you today, what can we do?